These japa affirmations actually summarize my japa workshop. And all the points of the workshop, all the main points of the workshop were put into affirmations, both so you could remember what was taught and also so you could it would help empower your japa by putting you in the proper state of consciousness. So that's the idea of these affirmations. And the idea of an affirmation is that you, when you say it, you try to make it yours, you try to believe it and accept it as the reality you want to create. It's not that you just say it and automatically it'll work, but you say it as the reality you want to create. And by saying it with emotion, with belief, with the desire to be what it says, it alters your consciousness, or at least it puts you in the right, better consciousness for chanting. So let's talk about it. First affirmation is, I happily and enthusiastically welcome the holy names every japa session. So the idea is that however you approach something is how it will affect you, even if you're not happily and enthusiastically, even if you're not happy and enthusiastic every morning, you try to create that frame, just like frame of consciousness or reference, just like if something bad happens in our life, we're often instructed to appreciate what's good. So it's about focus. So if you had a bad japa day yesterday, perhaps today you're not so, will be as enthusiastic about chanting as you may want to be. So the idea is to pull ourselves out of the past, whatever our japa was yesterday or last week or last month or last year. Now, I appreciate the opportunity that I have to associate with Krishna. I enter it positively, hopefully, enthusiastically, relishing the fact that now I get to spend time with Krishna and I get to purify myself. So it's just adopting a mindset. And what you have to understand about the mind is that we have the choice of the kind of mindset we want to approach anything with. And sometimes we don't approach the holy name with a proper mindset because we're just not having good days with japa. And so then we're just not in a good mood, and as a result of not being in a good mood, then we don't chant well. Or we go into the chanting with the wrong attitudes. So this is to help us counteract the possibilities of thinking negatively about japa. Oh, I had a bad japa day yesterday, today will probably be the same. Or thoughts like, it's going to be difficult, it's difficult to control my mind. All kinds of negative thoughts can come into our mind when we begin chanting. And another point is that sometimes we begin chanting, but we don't do any preparation. So this is also a kind of preparation. You could call it a centering, a preparation to prepare us for chanting, to be in the best consciousness we can be. And just like if you're going to prepare for anything, you want to try to be in the best consciousness you can. And if you take on a negative consciousness thinking, as I said, this is going to be difficult, or it was difficult yesterday, or I'm going to be bored, probably won't be able to control my mind, and so forth. By creating that negative, by just thinking negatively, you kind of allow your japa to become negative. So this is how we begin japa on a positive note. Thank you, Krishna, for giving me the holy name. I'm so fortunate. I'm enthusiastic, even if I'm not enthusiastic, but I know in my most pure state of consciousness, I am enthusiastic. So then even if I say, even if I'm not enthusiastic, but I say I enthusiastically and happily welcome the holy name, it means as a pure soul I do. And so then you could see this as an alignment of what the soul in its purest state would be feeling and thinking and believing, and then I align myself with that. Even if it's artificial, it's okay. I'm happy. I'm happy to chant. I'm happy I have the holy name. The holy name offers me the opportunity to become Krishna conscious. I relish this opportunity. I look forward to chanting. I look forward to what the holy name can give me and do for me. That's the idea. So you want to start out that way. You don't want to start out negatively. Every negative thought, every negative word will reap a negative consequence. So number two, I easily chant my prescribed number of rounds with focus and attention. So the three things here are easily and then focus and attention. And why do we have these three? Because you may be thinking, it's not easy. And it's not easy, and I don't focus, and my attention is distracted. So it's the same idea, is to set up kind of like the rules of this japa session, is that I will be focused, I will pay attention, and that japa is not something difficult, it's not a chore, it's not something that, oh, now I have to chant japa, I'd rather be doing something else, and it's going to be a burden, it's going to be hard to get through, it's going to be, I can't control my mind, I never control my mind when I chant. See, all these kinds of thoughts or words just makes, it's like, it's kind of like we already have prearranged bad japa before we've even started. So if we, obviously we need to focus, and if we want to focus, we have to be positive about that, I will do it. And so often devotees want to achieve something, but they say it's difficult to achieve. And I always tell them, don't say that. Because by saying that, you're reinforcing it to yourself that it's difficult. But by saying, I easily relish, I easily focus, I easily pay attention, it shifts your consciousness into the realization that it's not impossible or even difficult to do this. And that I can, and by saying it in the present tense, it begins to reframe your subconscious to make that a reality. And it can be a reality, but you have to want it and you have to make it happen. So chanting is relishable. It's not impossible to focus. It's not impossible to pay attention. If that's your intention when you begin chanting, then that's going to happen. So a lot of us really don't have that intention. And as we're saying in the first affirmation, our intention tends to be modified by past experience. So if I'm having difficulty controlling my mind, my intention is not going to be to control my mind, but my assumption will be that it's not going to be controlled when I chant, that it's going to be distracted. So here we're making an intentional statement that this is what I'm going to do. And intentional statements are not based on past experiences. They're intentions of what we want rather than what we believe will happen based on what's happened in the past. So the idea is you're creating in your mind and heart or thinking or feeling about the kind of experience that you want to have with japa, and you're stating it in the present tense. So saying, now I will focus. This is what I'm going to do. And the thing is that when you're not focused, always remember that you can focus, because we have that ability as spirit soul, we can focus our mind. We can take control of our mind. So if you realize you can do that, say, I focus. Saying I focus won't have the same power if you don't believe it, but if you realize that if you make a decision to focus, you can do that because you're above the mind, then it has power. If you realize that you can put your attention anywhere you decide to put it, and now I will decide to put my attention on japa, you can do that. But you have to know that you can do that. And so then when you state it in the present tense, you're affirming that this is what your japa session is going to be. This is what you're going to do during it. So that's the idea. So the next one, when I chant, I chant. So this is quite simple, but it's very profound, and it more or less encompasses all the principles that I teach in all the affirmations. When I chant, I chant. We know that often when we chant, what we mean when I say when I chant is that I'm not preoccupied with anything else, but I'm chanting. And you may, through practice, disassociate or detach from everything else in your life while you chant. So your phone's off, your computer's off. You're in your temple, you're focused on a picture, or your eyes are closed, and you're just chanting. You're not doing anything else. That's the idea. When I chant, I chant. But there's one possible problem, that you may not be doing anything else physically, but you may be doing something else mentally. So you may have got into your temple room, you're sitting in front of your altar, so it looks like when you chant, you're chanting, but you may be in your office thinking about what you're going to do. So then, when I chant is not what you're doing. What you're doing is, when I chant, I plan. Or when I chant, I'm in my office. Or when I chant, I'm doing something else within my mind. So we want to avoid any other activity within our mind and any other activity within our body. The body's a little easier to control. But even that, so many of us don't control that. We get distracted by other things. But you could apply this principle to so many things in life. You know, when I read, read. When I read, I read. When I write, I write. When I talk, I talk. When I listen, I listen. It's just, it's the idea of focusing on one activity, being present. When I chant, I chant. I'm present totally to what I'm doing in chanting. So I'm not somewhere else. I'm actually chanting fully with my body, fully with my attention, fully with my mind, fully with my heart, fully with every aspect of my energy and consciousness. That's the idea. I treat the Maha Mantra as Radha and Krishna fully present in sound. I think so often we don't treat the Maha Mantra as Krishna, Radha and Krishna. We treat it as what might be more like an impersonal mantra. Let's say, for example, you go to some guru and they give you mantra, like he gives you some mantra, you don't even know what it means, and he says, chant this mantra, these sounds, and something will happen. Your life will be better, or some material benefits will come to you, or whatever. So sometimes that kind of chanting is mechanical. It's like it's just a mantra that's going to bring something. It's not identified with a person. But Krishna is in his name, Radha is in her name. So Prabhupada said, just as you would bow to the deities, you should bow to the holy name. And when you treat the holy name as Radha and Krishna, then you'll realize Radha and Krishna is there. And part of the reason that we don't realize Krishna is in his name is because we're not treating the name as Krishna. We're treating it as a mantra, a sound vibration, a spiritual practice. There's a tendency, when we think that way, there's a tendency for our thinking to be impersonal. Impersonable, impersonal, and mechanistic, mechanical. Not mechanistic, mechanical. So, we can't understand intellectually that Krishna is in his name. We can hear that. But the way we properly understand it is by practicing japa in this way, accepting that here I am now associating with Krishna and Radha when I chant their name. And even if I don't feel it, by meditating on the fact that they are in their names, I'll begin to experience it. And by treating the holy names as Radha and Krishna, that's how I will realize they're there. If I just treat it as a sound, I won't realize it's Krishna. I'll just think, well, it's just a mantra you just chant. It's a mantra, you just chant it, and it's got some mystical power. It's not associated with the deity. But Krishna's fully present in his name, and as you chant, if you meditate on that, you can feel the presence more. And that's when the chanting becomes very, very transcendental and powerful and nectarine. I receive and feel Krishna's presence, mercy, and love in his holy names. What we taught in the workshop around this is that the holy name is Krishna throwing out his net. Said, here, I want you back to Godhead. And here's the ticket to get back. I mean, if you go back to Godhead, you have to qualify yourself. You have to purify your heart, because nobody is allowed to go there who is not pure. And this is the way that you become pure, and this is therefore the way that you become qualified to associate with me. So if you think of the holy name as Krishna extending himself to all of us and saying, please come back, I want a relationship with you, then you'll feel his mercy and you'll feel his love coming through the holy name when you chant. A lot of times when we're chanting, we say, well, I don't feel anything. But there's so much love and affection and mercy in the holy name. You just have to become aware of it. It's not a matter of chanting well or not chanting well. It's a matter of putting your awareness on this reality. So this says, I receive and feel Krishna's presence, mercy, and love. You may say, what if I don't feel it? Just allow yourself to feel it. A lot of times we're trying to create a feeling and we're not actually feeling what we're feeling, and we're believing we're not feeling anything because we're trying to feel something other than what we're feeling. But sometimes we just have to sit back and allow ourselves to feel the holy name, feel Krishna's presence in it, rather than create a feeling. I mean, we can create a feeling of love, of devotion. But what we're talking about here is feeling just the vibration. I can feel that as Krishna's presence. I can feel, as we were saying, Krishna extending him.